The first installment of our series features the directive to be kind. Remember now, the series is called Stop Being Nice. But there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Those are two very different things. Being nice comes across on the surface, but kindness comes from out of the depths of our hearts. To be kind is a reflection of God's action. Being nice when you are polite to people, being kind is when you treat them well. Being kind is when you care about people and your actions show it. Have you ever put on a fake smile or been nice to someone that you really didn't want to be nice to if you were 100% honest? I think we all have. Sometimes it's to avoid conflict. Maybe it's at work and it wouldn't go well for you to not be nice. Maybe it was at school and you felt something wasn't fair, but you still had to be nice. Perhaps it's when you're with your partner or a family member and you just have to pick your battles and sometimes be nice, even when you know you're in the right, but sometimes that gets to be petty, doesn't it? We acknowledge that it's a struggle sometimes to be kind and to be nice. On the other hand, we've all been in that moment when someone was nice to us, they were just being nice to us, we could tell it wasn't sincere, it felt fake or forced. You'd rather the person say nothing than to pay you an insincere compliment or give you a phony hug, right? As we begin the new year, we're going to commit to going deeper than simply being nice to one another. We're going to begin by being kind. I'm reminded of a time when someone was kind to me. Our children were very young, and we had a couple of setbacks with expensive car repairs and some unexpected bills. Two couples from our church, independently, showed us amazing generosity. I would receive a card every holiday with a ShopRite gift card for groceries. Another couple brought us two huge bags of children's clothing in the right size at just the right time. These couples weren't being nice. They were being kind. I don't know if they know just how much it meant to us, and we're still grateful today. In today's scripture, Paul gives us advice to the people of Ephesus to help them to be more kind. He says, instead of using hurtful words, be kind and merciful. Just as others, be nice to others, just as God is to us. Forgive others because God forgave us through Christ Jesus. To be Christ-like, we must go beyond being nice. As we look through the Bible, even God wasn't always nice. God wasn't nice to David. God wasn't always nice to the Israelites wandering around through the desert. Jesus wasn't nice to the woman at the well. He called her out and named her sin. But God was always kind. God always forgives a repentant heart and calls us back into right relationship. Paul wrote these words to people who weren't getting along at the time. Paul begins chapter 4 of Ephesians telling them to be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for others' faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit and to be at peace with one another. He taught them and us how Jesus wants us to treat one another. We acknowledge that this is a struggle sometimes. Our human reactions are most often bitterness, anger, shouting, etc., when we feel that we've been wronged. Those emotions just come more naturally sometimes. Even when we are the one who's wronged someone, we tend to play the blame game to avoid accountability. But God calls us to go beyond just being nice. We are being called to a level of kindness that we can only access through God's love. God is calling you to put aside some of these very human reactions and to be kind above all else. To be kind, your actions and words must be building others up. Internally, we must choose to be kind before we can express kindness to others. Take heart, this is something we can all work on. We can, with practice, change our reactions, our gut reactions. Just as any new habit takes intention and hard work, we can also incorporate to mindfully choose kindness over anger, even when it's not our first choice. Each time you find yourself reacting in an un-Christ-like way, and let's face it, we've all been there, take a moment and either mentally or verbally say, "Be kind." Some of you will be tested even before you return home. Not at church, never, but maybe on the ride home. Have you ever been cut off by a driver and your first reaction isn't exactly Christ-like? Well, maybe that person's having a hard day. Maybe that they were distracted. Catch yourself and consider, be kind. When someone in your family or at your job does something that makes you angry, breathe. Be kind as your mantra before you react. It truly is a spiritual discipline that can conform you into Christ-likeness more and more each time. On Friday, there was a press release from the United Methodist Church. You may have heard about it or read about it online. I'd like to read a portion of the letter to you and let you know that we have printed copies in the narthex for anyone interested in reading the full document. Thank you, Nancy, for your help this morning, along with a written response from Bishop John Scholl. A diverse group of representatives from the United Methodist advocacy groups with contrasting views and bishops from around the world have collaborated on a proposed agreement for the separation of the United Methodist Church that has unanimous support of all the parties involved. The agreement, called the Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation, was achieved on December 17, 2019, and announced today, which was January 3rd. The action comes amid heightened tensions in the church over conflicting views related to human sexuality after the 2019 special session of the General Conference failed to resolve differences among church members. Legislation to implement the protocol statement, an 8-page document detailing the terms of a split of the 13-plus million member denomination, is expected to come before the United Methodist General Conference for a vote at their legislative meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in May of 2020. The 16-member group came together as an outgrowth of a consultation initiated by bishops from central conferences located outside the United States. The parties sought assistance from prominent attorney Kenneth Feinberg, who specializes in mediation and alternative dispute resolution. Feinberg, who served as the special master of the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund and administrator of the BP Deepwater Horizon Disaster Victim Compensation Fund, along with a number of other complex matters, agreed to provide his services pro bono. Meeting over several months, the unofficial group reached an agreement by signatories associated with all of the constituencies within the United Methodist Church for a mutually supported pathway for separation, bridging differences among other plans to be considered by General Conference. The undersigned proposed restructuring the United Methodist Church by separation as the best means to resolve our differences, allowing each part of the church to remain true to its theological understanding, while recognizing the dignity, equality, integrity, and respect of every person, says the protocol statement. That's just a portion of the letter, and again, it is outside in the narthex if you care to read the entire document. Our bishop, Bishop John Scholl, has written a response to help clarify this press release. He states, "Here is what I want you to know and understand at this time. The agreement must be approved by the General Conference in May. It can be further amended. It primarily provides the ability for the Wesleyan Covenant Association to leave the United Methodist Church with their property and assets. Most of the denomination will stay together. The Wesleyan Covenant Association has approximately 3,000 members from around the world, and the United Methodist Church has over 12 million around the world. We anticipate the 3,000 number to grow. The agreement includes a financial settlement, and the details are printed in Bishop's letter. If this settlement passes at General Conference, we are not sure of the impact for G&J, which is our annual conference, the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference. But G&J leadership has been preparing for this day and has a plan to continue the mission and ministry of all of our congregations and clergy appointments within G&J. The agreement also calls for grouping the United Methodist Church into four regions: Europe, the Philippines, Africa, and the United States, where more localized and contextual decisions can be made. Congregations that would like to stay within the United Methodist Church will not have to take a vote to stay. You are an important and critical part of the mission and ministry of G&J. Thank you for your leadership and service to the United Methodist Church. Keep the faith. John Scholl. Now, I know that's a lot of information to take in. The bishop has clarified some of the points, and they will unfold in more detail as the weeks go by leading up to General Conference, which happens in May. I want to share that I also read a very thoughtful response from our former district superintendent, the Reverend Dr. Drew Dyson, in which he lamented, "We are literally in a world of hurt, and the church is still fighting over sex. Wildfires are burning. We may be on the brink of a world war. Transgender people are being murdered every day. Suicide rates continue to climb. Black and brown people face the constant threat of violence, hate, and discrimination. The world turns dangerously, and the headlines about the United Methodist Church are, once again, whether queer people are truly equal. Seriously? As one of my colleagues wrote, no wonder the world has lost interest in the church." End quote. Friends, I want to share with you, these headlines are not the church, and these headlines are not the people of this church. We may not all agree on this or any issue, but when I look around this sanctuary, I see love, I see Jesus, and I see kindness. What shall our response be to these headlines? I challenge us to continue to be kind, to be the welcoming family of Christ that this congregation has always proved to be since its inception. Families don't always agree, but they always love, and they are always kind. On the first Sunday in January, it is tradition in a lot of churches to reaffirm our Wesleyan covenant. While we're not doing that this morning, we do remember John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, and I share this manifesto of statements attributed to him that are still so appropriate to our world today. I thank Pastor Francie for sharing this on Facebook yesterday. Credit belongs to the museum at the New Room in Bristol, England. With each statement, consider how Christ-like kindness could affect each principle. Reduce the gap between the rich and poor. Seek to ensure full employment. Introduce measures to help the poorest, including a living wage. Offer the best possible education. Empower individuals to feel they can make a difference. Promote tolerance. Promote equal treatment of women, and today I would say of all people. Create a society based on values and not on profits and consumerism. End all forms of enslavement. Avoid engaging in wars. Avoid narrow self-interest and promote a worldview. Care for the animals with whom we share our planet. These statements were attributed to John Wesley in the 1700s. How fitting are they still today? Each one of these statements also can be responded to with kindness, the kindness that Jesus modeled and we aspire to imitate. Let's all ask ourselves, are we being nice people, or are we imitating Christ and being kind? God is calling our church to something greater than a nice response. Throughout these series and the weeks to come, we will commit to being kind, joyful, peaceful, and loving together. This week, commit to doing something kind for your neighbors, and better yet, make it a random act of kindness so that they may never know it was you who did it, but they will know that kindness still exists in the world. Yes, kindness takes effort. Sometimes it involves sacrifice of your time or of your resources, but it is always worth it. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "You cannot do kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late." Let us all commit to stop being nice and start being kind. Amen.